San Diego Center for Spiritual Living, Sunday, January 21, 2024. Today's lesson is Drawing the Blueprint with Reverend Dr. Constance Cook Core. So welcome home to our San Diego Center for Spiritual Living. And I am excited to be here with you. There is one power, one presence, one infinite intelligence which flows through all creation. And I call this God, the living spirit almighty, one indestructible, absolute, and self-existent cause in which we live and move and have our being. And so it is.
So it is.
This is a great day. That was a great song. I stumbled onto that, Concrete and Cranes from the ABC Vacation Bible School of 2020. And it just had so many of the words that I had in my mind for this talk of drawing the blueprint that I thought, well, maybe. And so I put it to the side and then listened to it again about 2 days later and thought, well, okay. And then I listened to it again this morning and thought, how could I ever have been in doubt? So this theme for the year is Building Conscious Community. And our theme for January is Foundations. And a foundation is a base upon which building blocks, whether structural or spiritual, will be supported. Everything is supported on the foundation. Do you know why people who live in the desert or at the beach pitch tents? Because the foundation moves, and the people who live in tents move. So the foundation and the method of shelter blend together. But what are permanent houses? What are permanent office buildings? What are churches and temples and museums? What are they built on? Strong foundations. Strong foundations. In the old days in the Bible, it was rock. There was brick and stone. Brick was man-made, and it wasn't as strong, of course, as stone, because it was just mud and straw. And stone is a foundation. It is solid. It is from the earth. We don't make it ourselves. It is given to us as a part of our world. And the finest stone is marble. And so you will find that most of the temples are made of marble. It was the best available for high quality, for longevity, for giving the best that we had into a concept of the divine, of the saints and sages and whoever we were setting up an area to be cognizant of them. Emmett Fox wrote a book called Diagrams for Living, The Bible Unveiled. And in it, he says, faith is the very cornerstone of all enterprises. It sets up a blueprint for accomplishment. Sets up a blueprint for accomplishment. One of the building blocks that we have in our Science of Mind teachings is the affirmative prayer. Another is affirmations. Dr. Erwin Gregg was a minister, and he wrote this about affirmative prayer. In the Bible, we read that we are created in God's image. This image within us is the immaterial representation of spirit. The Christ within us is the spiritual being that we are and have been since before the world was. We go about the spiritual regeneration of being born again by meditative thought. Using Dr. Gregg's words, I will now affirm for you, God is everywhere, therefore God is with you. God's presence is unfolding its spiritual image within you, making you aware of your spiritual identity, your immortal self. I have a mighty faith in the Christ self within you to release its perfection within you. Your thoughts are inspired, spiritual energy is released within you, and the divine plan for your good is coming into fruition in practical ways. Does that sound like it's for you? Okay, everybody say, that's for me.
That's for me.
Okay, now place your hand over your heart. Today.
Today.
My thoughts are inspired.
My thoughts are inspired.
Spiritual energy is released within me.
Spiritual energy is released within me.
The divine plan for my good is happening now.
The divine plan for my good is happening now.
And so it is.
And so it is.
So just breathe. Breathe. Take that all in. And then put on your seatbelts. Because your life is about to go into high gear with ease and grace, of course. Ernest Holmes is the founder of Religious Science and the author of the Religious Science textbook. He is also the author of Living the Science of Mind. So when we talk about the building blocks of the Science of Mind teachings, affirmations, affirmative prayer, we're talking about the vision that Ernest Holmes had. So what are affirmations? We just made affirmations. What are they? Things that we say to remind ourselves of who and what we are. We're telling the truth about ourselves. Affirmations are always personal. They are present tense and they are positive. I am, or today, my thoughts are inspired. You get to affirm that your very own thoughts are inspired. You can say, I am having inspired thoughts. Or you can say, my thoughts are inspired. It's the same thing. It's not like my thoughts will be inspired tomorrow or next week, or, hey, yesterday my thoughts were really inspired. I think I'll take a day off and just rest on my laurels. These are foundational principles in the Science of Mind. In Living the Science of Mind, the very first page has a section called, What is the Science of Mind? Makes sense, right? Makes sense. Ernest Holmes writes, the science of mind is an outgrowth of the spiritual faith which people have had throughout the ages. Before science was conceived, the presence of God was felt. Before ever mental actions or reactions were analyzed, history was filled with instances of men and women who had experienced God. You know, I'd like to say, well, of course, but it's like, that is so true. It is so true. And we forget that there was a divine presence long before we, these people who think we know everything, stumbled onto how to use natural elements to create fire for warmth and light. We're the same ones who developed the internet and who developed computers, who developed rocket ships. Elon Musk is the same as the caveman in pure essence. Is that not astounding? I think it's astounding. It leaves me in awe. Ernest says, "The science of mind is built on the theory that there is one infinite mind which of necessity includes us all, whether it be the intelligence in man, the life in the animal, or the invisible presence which is God. In it we learn to have a spiritual sense of things. This spiritual sense of things is what is meant by the consciousness of Christ. To be able to discern the spiritual idea back of its physical symbol is to use the mind that Jesus used." Have you ever heard it so clearly stated? Not by Ernest Holmes. This is a one-off. The science of mind is intensely practical because it teaches us how to use the mind principle for definite purposes. He says, "It is necessary that you have a complete conviction that there is such a principle and that you understand the scientific use and application of it," meaning that you understand what he just said, which for the first time was very clear. "Conscious knowledge alone gives you conscious control of the laws of nature." I'm going to repeat that. "Conscious knowledge alone gives you the conscious control of the laws of nature. The advance in any science always corresponds to the conscious use made of the laws of nature. There could be no advance in science without such conscious use of nature's laws." Ernest, no, I already read that. I'm sorry. "So, there could be no advance in science without such conscious use of nature's laws." All of nature's laws are principles. Electricity, motion, perpetual motion, gravity. All of these different things are natural principles, and they have been there all along. And we, as we ponder nature, as we go within and feel this sense of the presence of the divine, we are then actively courting the wisdom that is there for everybody. We joke about the one mind and how, you know, the staff and the members and here at the center all seem to have the same awareness. Like this, and this is not the first time. Noble Benning, our practitioner, his meditation this morning sounded like a summary of my talk. Reverend Mark has done it before. And we will come all dressed in the same color scheme. It's amazing how the one mind is fully present. And we all seem to be in the same wavelength range. And it's good that we are, because we are a conscious community. We are conscious, we are aware of the divine presence. So what is a blueprint? If we're going to be drawing our blueprint, what is a blueprint? Well, it's a design plan or some other type of drawing. When I looked it up, the little sentence that was quoted was, they are redrawing office blueprints to include large shared spaces. And I immediately thought of our center, how we are growing and we are planning to return to the downtown area. And I thought, yes, our blueprint for success, our blueprint for building conscious community is already here. And we get little reminders like these blurbs that we come across our view. In fact, last week I was telling, was it Mark or was it you, Ann Noble, that I was looking in the office and suddenly there was a book that I had never seen before. And then I'm looking at it going, what is that book? And then it was like the only book I could see on the bookshelf. Well, that was Emmett Fox's Diagrams for Living, The Bible Unveiled. And his chapter, his fourth chapter in here is Man the Builder. I'm going to share some of that with you in a few minutes. There are different kinds of architects. There are building architects. There are landscape architects, and then there's us. And we are the architects of our life blueprint and the blueprint of our beloved San Diego Center for Spiritual Living. A blueprint is a tool that conveys our vision. It's the beginning layout of our future as conceived in our own dreams, our focus, our purpose, and our plans. That's all our personal blueprint for our own lives and for the life and the community of this center. So we have a new program. It's called Bring a Friend to Church, and that is in alignment with building conscious community. And we have Bring a Friend to Church Sundays, which are the second and fourth Sundays of every month. And so what we're doing is we are visioning new faces or faces we already know, bringing the people in, being aware of the need, the very definite need for our consciousness, for our welcome home, heartfelt, unconditional love, supporting each other and supporting those who are drawn to be here. All we're doing when we're bringing a friend to church is sharing. We are sharing. You know, when we are unconscious, we don't know that we're unconscious. I have fainted or hit my head and been unconscious before. And I tell you, you don't know you're unconscious. I mean, you come to an hour and a half later and you go, what happened? Why do I have this headache? But when we are conscious, we are aware of what's going on around us and within us, and that's as it should be. It's natural to want to share something that you enjoy with others. because we are one source. There is only one source for everything for all of us. Reverend Dr. Durrell Watkins wrote about divine unity. And just as we know that the presence of God has been felt and experienced long before science was ever conceived, we also know that the presence of God is experienced by all people, no matter what religious traditions, religious affiliation, or none that they have. The presence of something greater. Sikh scripture teaches, boy. The Sikhs teach. The one God is pervading and permeating each and every heart. The Mundaka Upanishad reveals this universe springs from the deathless self, the source of life. The Sufi poet Rumi says, "You are not a drop in the ocean. You are the entire ocean in a drop." The Apostle Paul quoted a Greek poet saying, "It is in God that we live and move and have our being." A Jewish psalmist affirmed the omnipresence of divine love when writing, "I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence." We cannot be separated from our source. We simply cannot. Divine life is the substance of our individual lives, each and every one of us. As God is the life expressing in, through, and as our lives, we are always capable of improvement. Improvement? I thought I was already perfect, whole, and complete. Well, you are. You are. In your spirituality, in your essence. And in this human life, you have all the opportunities in the world to embrace that perfection, to know it is true about you. The human part of us says, "Oh no, wait a minute, that's not the perfect standard of beauty. Oh no, wait a minute, that's not the optimal IQ. Oh no, wait a minute, that's not the right car for somebody that age." Let all that go. Let all that go. Dr. Watkins says, we always have access to peace, to joy, to wisdom, to seeing past a challenge or difficulty, to a field of unlimited possibilities. We always can be assured that come what may, we are forever a part of a perfect life that has no end. Truly, perfect life that has no end. So, let's talk a little about Emmett Fox. In his Diagrams for Living, the Bible Unveiled, in his chapter, Man the Builder, he reminds us through this chapter several times, "Behold, I make all things new." Behold, I make all things new. Everything that is within us can be made new. And is being made new. Fox tells us that there are biblical symbols that give clues to our destiny. There's lots of symbols in the Bible, lots of symbolism. Builders and buildings run throughout the Bible. And there's a reason for that. Emmett tells us that man has many occupations, fisherman, farmer, soldier, but he is always the builder because he is building his own soul. So no matter what you're doing in your life, you are building your own soul. You are constantly building a new soul. And your body is not eternal at all. But it regenerates and it rebuilds itself. On page 32, Emmett Fox writes, "Your real identity, your real self, the Christ man, builds through your psyche or soul. Actually, you are constantly building a new soul. The body is not eternal at all. You get a new body about once a year. Not exactly on your birthday, but your body is being renewed gradually all the time. Your hair grows, a cut in the skin gradually heals, and various parts of the entire body are constantly renewed." Now here's something. This book was written in the 60s. I had old news. Listen to this. "It was once thought that the body was completely renewed every 7 years. But we now know that it is about every 12 months. The building materials are our thoughts. We build our lives all day long by the thoughts we think, the beliefs we accept, the feelings we entertain. Thoughts and feeling are the material, and we are the builders. We build as individuals, and we build as a race. And the thing we build manifests as our bodies and our world." Absolutely. They manifest as our bodies and our world. And our life experiences. You know, we look at what's going on in our lives and we say, well, this is going on and that's going on. And the science of mind teaches us that thoughts are things. Therefore, the thoughts that we have must have created these things. That's not how it works. If you are not having thoughts of your own, you are being bombarded with what we call race thought. That's not ethnicity. That's human race thought. And there are a lot more human thoughts that are negative than are positive. So until you learn that your thoughts are things, your life, your experience, your body is subject to this generalized thought system of all the people on the planet. That's up until now. Up until now, when you learned that you can draw your own blueprint, that you are the author of your life. Now, yes, we could probably say, and with a snap of his fingers, a miracle occurred, and all was right in the world. But all of these old thoughts that we have are like cassette tapes going round and round and round and round and round in our head. And I say cassette because they just go round and round and round. When we choose to focus ourselves and think about what we're thinking about, all of those tapes are not immediately deleted because they apply to many different segments of our lives. And so for one area of our life, we go, oh, that's what I used to believe. Now I can focus on making sure that I am aware that I am planning, I am drawing my own blueprint for this area of my life. And that's wonderful. And you're going along nice and smooth, and you come to another area of your life, and lo and behold, the same false belief crops up. It just looks different. And you go, oh, well, now I have to deal with that in this part of my life. And it's simple. It is very simple. It's not easy. It is very simple. Getting rid of all the old thoughts that were given to us instead of that we developed on our own. It's when we contemplate, when we think about all the things on our own, that we can determine and discern truth. Now, once we figure out what the truth is, it's not really polite to turn around to the person who told you something different and say, you were so wrong. Because in this discernment, we also understand that each person is connected. And so if we are turning around and dumping on somebody, what we're really doing is dumping on ourselves. We might as well just own it. Gee, I was wrong. Now I know better. I don't have to blame anybody for the old things I thought. I don't have to blame any system for the old things I thought. I can simply think a new thought and be captain of my own ship, master of my own destiny. Now, science of mind, unless you were raised in it, at some point has always been a new teaching for people. And learning anything could be considered a new teaching. You weren't born knowing how to read, so you had to get this new teaching of words and language and writing and sentence structure and paragraphs and the correlation between sounds and letters and pictures. That was new teaching. Y'all did great. Y'all did great. In Design for Living, Emmett Fox says, when he's talking about new teachings, he says, these things may appear strange and unbelievable, but new teaching is quite likely to sound strange. If you cannot accept it all at first, then accept as much of it as you can. And as you get spiritual understanding, you will accept more and more. When Moses freed the Israelites from Egypt, and no, this is not a jump out in the blue, this is all related. They wandered the desert for 40 years. Well, Emmett Fox tells us that 40 years is, 40 like that is an indefinite number. It's not the number 40, it's indefinite. So all these people rescued from Egypt wandered about the desert indefinitely. So why didn't they go straight to the promised land? Why not? Why didn't they go straight to Palestine? It seems stupid of them that they did not immediately go to their objective. But what about ourselves? We know the presence of God is there. We know that we have only to enter the inner chamber and trust God completely. Yet do we do it? No, we do not. We may do it a lot, but do we do it all the time? No. I can't be in the chamber of God while I'm driving around in my car. Instead of going straight into the promised land, we wander in the wilderness for an indefinite time. Now, but is this where we want to stay? Wandering in the wilderness, always ready with an excuse. I need a little more time or a little more treatment. When I have more understanding, well, I'll start next week and that sort of thing. There is always the willingness to postpone instead of seizing the presence of God. There is always the willingness to postpone instead of seizing the presence of God. So let us be willing to be willing to accept as much as we can of these new teachings that are actually ancient wisdom. Let us proceed with drawing the blueprint of our lives with all the power of the universe that is also within each and every one of us. I'm returning to living the science of mind. Ernest Holmes says, now close your eyes and take this in. Know that good is omnipotent. Know that the truth instantly, effectively, and permanently destroys every fear and every effect of fear. Know that you are governed by infinite intelligence. Know that you are directed by divine guidance and that you are compelled to think and act constructively. Therefore, you may know that everything you say, do, or think carries with it a divine authority. Freedom already exists, but your freedom is in your thought. Hence, it is not enough to say God is free, which of course is a true statement, but this statement must be made personal. The freedom of God is my freedom. The power of God is my power. The presence of God is in me. The mind of God is my mind. The strength of God is my strength. And the joy of God is my joy. So place your hand over your heart. Repeat after me. The freedom of God is my freedom.
The freedom of God is my freedom.
The power of God is my power.
The power of God is my power.
The presence of God is in me.
The presence of God is within me.
The mind of God is my mind.
The mind of God is my mind.
The strength of God is my strength.
The strength of God is my strength.
And the joy of God is my joy.
And the joy of God is my joy.
And so it is.
And so it is.
And so I thank you for your time, for your attention, for being a part of this conscious community, and for drawing the blueprint of our center and of yourself. And so it is. Namaste.